Welcome to TBF, a Browns Fans Podcast. When you don't know what to say, say it any freaking way. Kevin Stefanski's an idiot.
One would think.
He's got to be. He's got to be. I mean, because is he confused? Does he forget? Is that it? Is this early onset Alzheimer's or something? He forgot. He didn't have a starting quarterback. He was just dealing with a third game rookie. He threw the ball. They ran a couple times. Enough to know that running would have worked, okay? I mean, I think everybody was clear on that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys make of the Cleveland Browns? Anyway, it's TBF, a Browns Fans Podcast. We're here to talk about the exploits of our team. Boy, this season maybe we've been spoiled a little bit. But I'll say this. Not as spoiled as we were in 2020, right?
No.
Yeah, we were going through a hard time. It was COVID. And maybe we didn't realize how special that was. And we've been all enamored with this special defense and everything. And just tell you this, at this time of the season in 2020, our team was 8-3. Well, these Browns here are 7-4 and in need of a win. And while a lot of people think that means Joe Flacco must start, we're going to get into this discussion about the Cleveland Browns, and we're going to determine whether that is true. Does Joe Flacco need to start?
What really bothered me about Kevin in the game was that he proved to himself that he had one drive and scored, and it was mostly with running. He abandoned that.
Well, that's not even the point, because even before he did that, he had abandoned that. And God only knows why in the scope of that entire game where he passed, that he did run the majority of that drive, or at least a few of the plays in that drive, enough for us to see a balanced mix and how they actually get you down the field. Against the Broncos team, which was last in the league against the rush.
Defending the run, right.
And instead, well, I know what we're going to do. We're going to spread them out. We're going to beat them with the pass because I have a big brain. I have a big brain. It's a large brain. Can you see my brain?
Was it also?
No, I don't think you can see my brain. I must do another one of these. See how smart I am. See.
Got a question.
I don't think you've seen my big brain yet.
Hey, was it also a fact that the Denver Broncos were almost last in actually running the ball, too?
No, it was my big brain.
You're so stupid. That's so funny.
That's Kevin Stefanski, man. It's like, come on. We know that you got shit written on that card. We know that whatever you're telling the quarterbacks is fucking secret, right? Because you're holding it up in front of your lips. And we know exactly what you're about to do. You're about to do what nobody should do in this point in the game, and that's pass the fucking ball on first down 20 fucking times and ran it on first down 9 times. It doesn't make any sense.
Nope, doesn't.
Forget the fact that the Broncos were playing inspired football because they were on a 4-game winning streak at 500, having started 1-5, and we're looking to get a game above 500. Forget that, because they did their job, but they couldn't have got it done without us. I'm going to say that.
They forced us to pass, and we did just what they wanted. We continued to pass. They wanted us to
no, they we to for them to have forced us to pass would mean they would have had to have stopped the run, and they had not done that. Our most productive scoring drive was predominantly run, and they didn't stop it. They proved to us in that game that the game plan to beat them was the game plan we all envisioned going in. And that was for the Browns to run the ball and to pass sparingly and at those opportunistic times where you have basically drawn the defense up and they're looking for run and they know you're going to run, so then you pass. Not every fucking first down.
Right. And yeah. Which virtually resulted in a 2nd and 10.
Yeah, I mean, you were dealing with 2nd and long all game long. There, I don't think we saw a 2nd down with less than 7 yards.
No. No. I mean, there were some drop passes, we must be fair. There were.
Okay, but there were a lot of those passes which were dropped. And you technically, okay, and I'm going to go with what Amari Cooper said about some of the drops he had in the previous game, okay? And that was that if it hits you in the hands, you need to catch it. So, yes, technically you can call them drops. And even the one drop that Njoku had, Mark Sanchez is the color commentator on the game, pointed out that, yes, he's really got to catch that, but you got to give him a better ball. You got to give him a better ball. Okay, these guys dropped these balls, and I understand that, and you can be mad at the receivers, but the ball wasn't a good ball. Okay, it wasn't a good ball.
It wasn't a good ball. We had a conversation on here last week where we talked about whether a quarterback who can throw a slant, whether it's just gets them in the hand or whether they should be able to hit a slant. And I argued if they can't hit a slant, they're not a good quarterback. PJ Walker at the end of the game almost got Amari Cooper hurt because he did not throw the crossing route or slant in front of the receiver.
Yeah, and we almost got to lead the receiver with the ball. And if you can't lead the receiver with the ball, that's not a ball that should be thrown, because if you're thrown into coverage that prevents you from leading him on his route, I'm sorry, you can't. Now, for the receiver's part, and Amari called it out, and there really wasn't a lot of that, where you were really getting some of the frustrating throws that didn't work was when the receivers were on their route, and, you know, they have a curl or a hook, but then they're just standing there instead of driving back toward the ball. That's how you get a pick six. That's how a safety or a corner undercuts the route and gets there to the ball first, because you're not going back to the ball. Okay.
Well, but we also got to call it for what it is. If you look at the defensive line was not penetrating. This wasn't a normal looking game for us defensively.
Right.
They looked tired. They got tired quicker than they usually do in other games. We know why. It's because of the thin air altitude. And the thin air altitude, and without being adapted to it. They didn't even really practice. Okay. Right.
No.
So there's no adapting. There was no adapting before this game. Then we made it hard on ourselves because we passed a lot. So you went into Denver. Mm-hmm. Unadapted, no practice, thin air. They have the advantage because they play in this stuff. You're going to get tired faster. We were three and outs, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Our defense was on the field, and our defense got destroyed.
It was frustrating.
Because I did kind of call this last week that it could not be us relying on the defensive line to win it.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be the secondary. And that obviously it didn't happen, because the defensive line was not going to dominate in this game. You're asking, these are big human beings. And you're asking a large human being to go up against another large human being when he's adapted to the atmosphere they're literally playing in. and you didn't practice in it to try to at least adapt yourself some. Yeah.
They couldn't go guys, out there for long.
In more cheery news, Hugh Jackson's been fired again. Hugh Jackson.
Hey.
Get out of
here. Yeah. Grambling fired him today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, so, okay. So as bad as it feels right now, we're not 8-3, we're 7-4. If the playoffs, if the season ended today, we'd still be in the playoffs. Okay.
Yeah, so still in it.
Still in it, but come on, with what? Dude, if you can't establish some sane medium, okay, at quarterback, you're going no fucking where, okay? You just avoided a really big scare because, if Myles Garrett is out and can't play, you're fucked, okay? Because that's the heart, that's the engine of what drives this defense, okay? His presence on the field, don't mistake it, okay? If this team goes anywhere and does anything with a playoff berth, it's going to be because of that guy. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one thing. We appear to have dodged a bullet there. Okay? But P.J. Walker, God bless P.J. Walker, because you have to love his heart. But you know what? This ain't the days of Charlie Fry. We're not hoping for the engine that could to do it. We need an engine that can and will. Okay, and I'm sorry to say that, but the most likely candidate on the Browns roster right now to come in and just play a sane game at quarterback, okay, and do the recognition and actually maybe deliver some balls, but again, highly rely on the running game, I swear to you, would be Joe Flacco at this point.
I mean, there's no one else right
You're
now.
You're going to. It's you're gonna have to play Flacco. It's what I said. Look, I've not on this podcast endorsed PJ Walker, and it's not because I just dislike PJ Walker. I have to this point still not seen what lots of other people see. Was like, oh no, he can do it. He can't, and he showed it in the game, and I said it on the podcast. He can't throw a slant route.
Well, wait.
I don't care what you think about.
Let's just forget the subject of Walker for a second. Because listen, if Walker's the answer, yes, I think it's an undoubted. No one has to doubt you're going to be playing Flacco on Sunday. The question becomes, if DTR were to clear concussion protocol and be available, should he start over Flacco? Come on, guys.
I think he should. Okay, I'll finish this. Okay, what I was saying, I don't think PJ Walker's the guy. Okay, I think DTR is marginally better. Okay, but if we're at this point relying on I honestly do not. The plus for DTR in what I'm saying is because I can't say I've totally figured DTR out because he is a rookie. Okay, I don't think you're going to magically get more out of PJ Walker than what he already is.
The controversy
I agree
here,
with that.
Here now is just take PJ Walker out of the sentence. He's only in the game if nobody else is available, if everybody else is gone. And the absolute truth is because of the amount of people you want to pack on your roster and give the availability of this defensive line to rotate bodies, you're not going to take up an extra spot by having three quarterbacks, not when Harrison Bryant can be your emergency quarterback, okay? All right. Because trust me, if you get in the game and Flacco gets hurt and then DTR comes in and he gets hurt, okay, the only way PJ Walker's on the active roster, okay, that he travels with the team and he's on the active, 49, right? No, the 53 man, whatever the fuck it's called nowadays. It's going to be because DTR is not available. But the question becomes, for the Browns to have their best shot at getting the next few wins they need to assure themselves a berth in the playoffs, okay? Who's the best guy between DTR and Joe Flacco to get you there?
Flacco. But the problem with Flacco is we don't know what we're getting yet. We don't know what Flacco we're getting yet. Is this completely over the hill? I sat on the couch too long, Flacco. I don't think so. Is it Flacco? I got a chip on my shoulder, something to prove. Flacco is going to have to come in and do and release the ball. Okay, DTR just had a concussion. We know there's not a lot of time with our offensive line as far as our passing protection right now to throw the ball. Right. Mobility has been something we're using. Flacco has no ability. Flacco is going to have to come in and be the sharpest he's ever been, be MVP quarterback Flacco. Okay.
Okay, he can do that. I've seen him do it.
Okay. We've seen him drawback, do it. Yes.
That's my only drawback about Flacco is our front line is suspect right now. He's going to have to release the ball quickly because he's a statue back there. He doesn't move out of the pocket.
I'll put it to you like this. And the reason that some people are saying, and by the way, Kevin Stefanski has said nothing that would indicate what the fears of some people are on this. Okay. But having Joe Flacco in would apparently kind of tie Kevin Stefanski's hands. It would be fucking insane to take this veteran quarterback who is still on the uptake on your offense and not bring and lacks the mobility of a running quarterback. Okay, and so it would be stupid of you not to take advantage of your running game to do its job and open up your passing game.
I mean, bring up a good point. Well, you bring up a good point in a lot of ways. One, you have to use your running game. He's not a mobile running back. Two, if you call boneheaded ass stupid plays, he's going to give you a side eye. It's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. It's not just some dude. He hasn't just – haven't won just as much as he has.
And that's my point. What we've got to depend on Flacco to be clear on are what his audibles are. And you're going to have a check. You're going to have a check down pass and a check down run. You know, if you get to the line, you're going to have something that you can check out of that play and go run, go pass. Okay.
Well, I mean, the other thing I was going to point out with it is up to this point, Kevin has coached very little of players who have actually achieved more than he has.
No doubt.
Well, this much is true.
He's coached young guys and or guys who haven't achieved anything in this league any more than he has, a championship game. Flacco has. He won a Super Bowl.
And was MVP. Okay?
And was MVP. I mean, what I'm telling you is you cannot – it's not going to be the same atmosphere if Flacco gets in there. He's starting, and Kevin's playing bonehead. Okay?
My question is now, is Kevin capable of doing anything but playing bonehead?
Now, the other thing I'm going to say is I don't want to blame – this is one of the few times that Kevin is somewhat to blame, but I don't want to blame him fully. Most of the time, I'm the one that's like, nah, I want
to
put it all
Nobody wants to blame him fully this week. It's like everybody's hiding this problem. Anyway, go ahead.
What I'm saying is usually it's straight up down to a stupid play calling. Do I think he called the best game? I did not get to see all the game either because I was driving back from Thanksgiving.
Let me just say this, though. Okay, for the parts you didn't see, they were exactly like the parts you didn't.
That I did.
Okay. Okay. I'm just saying it was the same thing all game.
What I'm still saying is that the Browns were darn near set up for failure with the game, and he's to blame because you needed all those coaching decisions to be perfect.
He said margin of error out the window, dude.
Right.
We're passing.
Margin of error is closed so much with all the things stacked against us. It's a road game, one. It's in Mile High. The atmosphere,
Kevin's brain is big now.
You name it, it's stacked against us, right? Yes. And then you say, okay, well, then your coaching's got to be darn near perfect to win this game. These right decisions have to be made, and then that's where we are with that.
Okay, so here's Kevin Stefanski. This is why I can't get over it, and it's like it's hard to talk about the Browns after times like this because you just lost your quarterback. He just got knocked the fuck out of the game, bloody lip, the whole nine yards, right? And, you know, you have to punt the ball away. The Browns reward you with a three and out, get you the ball right back, right? And what do you do on the first play from scrimmage when you get the ball back? What? Elko, man, everybody knows what the right play to call is, right? A double reverse.
I know. You can't even do the fundamentals right.
Oh, my God.
But you're going to try a double reverse.
Oh, my God. If see, if the Browns don't do anything with this 7-3 start, if they don't make the playoffs, if they don't go anywhere once they get there, it's not going to be because they were injured. And see, here's the problem. Kevin Stefanski's going to get all these excuses. Well, we lost our starting quarterback. Oh, this. Listen, we lost a starting quarterback, right? A quarterback who we're not even sure what we lost. Okay? Let's just be real. Okay? We lost to Deshaun Watson, but we're not really sure what we lost. Okay, all we know is this defense has played so good, they deserve to go somewhere, and we ought to be able to field an offense that's at least respectable enough to
right.
look like they're trying to win for this defense that's fucking awesome. Okay,
I mean, I know we don't have Chubb, but we still have a decent running game, and we should use
it. But you would swear that the Browns' offense had been paid off by the Broncos to fuck this game up so the defense couldn't win it. I mean, it just was looking like every time there was something positive, okay, we got them three and out. You know, the Browns fumbled the ball. The Browns threw an interception, whatever, and they got field position. And if the Browns were to hold them to a field goal here, it'd be a major moral victory, blah, blah, blah. And they do it. And then the offense comes back and says, yeah, but we're not done fucking up yet. Here, hold on. Here, hold my beer.
Yeah, that was a hefty – they beat us pretty bad. I mean –
oh, it was again
more than 10 hard points.
Jeff, think of it as a blessing that you didn't see some of that game.
First half was off.
Oh, and the scoring drive notwithstanding, that drive ended up doing was making it even more frustrating. If you're the fan, because you saw it, we just scored. And listen, Mark Sanchez, God bless Mark Sanchez, but he might be my favorite color commentator because he's so honest. He's like, if you're a Browns fan, you got to be tearing your hair out now because you're like, why aren't they running?
Well, here's my thing. Here's my thing. When you lose and you can say, okay, I saw some of that coming. And you can, but you know what I mean? When you lose and you're like, I can sit there and say, yeah, I saw most of that coming. Okay, down to a quarterback throwing a slant behind the receiver and almost injuring him. I'm like, there's too many things that are wrong, the wrong things, you know what I mean? That are wrong, that are obvious, that you can sit there and say, hey, it's obvious, and then it's happening. It's obvious.
But what's killing me is the press. I mean, at these press conferences with Stefanski, why is nobody asking him, hey, dipshit, why in the fuck did Jerome Ford have 9 carries for 65 yards at 7.2 a carry with a long of 19? Why is that all he had, and he was knocking him out at 7.2 yards a carry?
I mean, the argument gets lost too when you're saying, "Well, we didn't want to run more time off the clock because we felt like we needed to catch up quick." Yeah, well, three and outs are
kind of that's counterproductive.
So,
but see but again, if you go into Denver with the kind of game plan you should have as the Cleveland Browns, you were going to run almost exclusively because you wanted this to be a short game. Low scoring, exactly. Short game was part of your formula for victory.
Exactly. That's a great point. I mean, what in the world?
Anybody could see it. Listen, who was I talking to? I might have been Jeffrey. It might have been you. But come on. When the person that's sitting next to you that knows nothing about football seems like a better option than the dipshit you got calling plays right now. Dude, I'd have gave it to, you know, not that my sister couldn't, but I'd give that call sheet to my sister and be more comfortable. Okay.
You're so funny. I'm not defending Kevin.
I'm not either. I'm glad.
Execution. I mean, there's some execution.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I'm all for his execution.
Yeah. You're so.
Hey. I'm just saying.
So what's this about him being coach of the year? What the hell? How the hell did he get that?
Wait, no. Come on. Take the Broncos game out of the equation now.
Right.
And the press in the come up to the game, one of the things they were like, Kevin Stefanski's in your top five in consideration for coach of the year, given what he's done with the Browns, losing their starting quarterback, their top 10 quarterback, and losing their tackle and having all the turmoil and drama they've had, but yet still winning games. It's Kevin Stefanski. He's doing this. Look what he's done. Again, anytime this guy has success, it goes straight to his fucking head, and he's like, have I shown you my big brain? No, really. Have you seen it? Here, let me wait. Hold on. Because you're never going to guess what I'm going to do now. Watch this. And he pulls that double reverse out of his ass.
That just blew my mind. I'm like, what in the world?
Well, I'm saying to, but wait. 2020. I want you to go back to 2020. In the midst of us going 7-3, 8-3, 9-3 before we lost the two games down the stretch. That's what Kevin Stefanski was doing. He was running fucking reverses and bullshit like that. Yes, he was.
Oh, okay.
I went and watched the fucking highlights of the games. Okay.
Well, you know, and to some degree, we're 7-4, or we were 7-3.
It ain't because of reverses, I can tell you that.
No, it's not. But through all the adversity, and again, this is not sticking up for Kevin, but on the head, straight head coaching side, I think that, okay, I get it, but
when you're not calling plays, listen, let me be very clear.
And you won't change.
I don't want Kevin Stefanski fired as the head coach unless that's what it takes to stop him from calling plays. I think that it is clear to the fan base. I think we need to start becoming vocal about this, that Kevin Stefanski shouldn't be the play caller in Cleveland. I like him as the head coach and motivator, and I, for one, am of the opinion that him calling plays distracts him from being attentive to the stuff he should be attentive to as head coach on game day.
Well, you know, let's face it, we don't know what's going on in the locker room. We don't know what's going on in the front office.
I know what's going on the sideline with a dude and a play calling card. I know that.
But you would think that someone would be aware,
unless he has the pictures that Jeffrey. Unless he has the pictures that Jeffrey tells you he has, right, Jeff? He's got a portfolio, doesn't he? Look, I'll show everybody the pictures. I'm calling plays. I'm calling plays, Andrew, because I have the pictures.
Right.
I'm saying. I've been saying for a while. It feels like cartoonish that he's still calling plays and that
right yeah
I mean look am I gonna look in a world if that were happening can I begrudge a person no it happens too many people are doing it like that happens but is that not what it feels like at this it feels like this at, to me at this point I've never seen no mess like this where somebody like, how do you even criticize play calling with Kevin Stefanski? Like, after this season, if they don't get to the playoffs, what do you do? Oh, man, I wish that offense was better. How do we do it?
No, but that's when all the apologists are going to come out. But you know, you lost your starting right tackle and you lost your starting quarterback. And Look what happened to the Bengals.
So currently, other than Miles, DTR, and Amari Cooper, who do we have injured in that game?
I don't think anybody else. Ain't that enough for
you? That's it? Okay. No, it's enough. Okay. I just wondered if there was more, you know.
Okay, let me there's a piece I wanted to read you guys, just to know, so that you know there are some minds out there that are thinking about this shit. If I can get it to pull up. Hold on, let's try this one more time. Okay, Kevin Stefanski's perplexing second half play calling costs Browns. Written by a dude named Spencer German on MSN. Well, actually, it's on Fan Nation and the Browns Digest. The Browns head coach has been brilliant this season at manufacturing wins despite the team dealing with an excessive number of injuries, but struggled to oversee offense and lost to Broncos. Don't get it twisted. The Browns head coach, Kevin Stefanski, has done a magnificent job this season orchestrating wins for his injury-plagued team. He deserves a ton of credit for that, all of it warranted. Praise and hand-wringing are fleeting things in this week-to-week sport we love, though. And just a week removed from pulling off a gritty 13-10 win over the Steelers, Stefanski's magic fairy dust seemed to lose some of its juice in a 29-12 loss to the Broncos. It was a matchup tailor-made for running backs Jerome Ford and Kareem Hunt to feast, facing a Denver defense that yielded 5.5 yards per carry on the season. Meanwhile, with rookie Dorian Thompson-Robinson starting at quarterback for a second consecutive week, utilizing the run game to get him comfortable seemed like a no-brainer. When that was the plan, it was working to beat to the beat of 9.3 yards per carry for Ford in the first half. Hunt was averaging 4 per carry, and yet, as the pressure ramped up in the second half, Stefanski ran the offense as if Deshaun Watson was still under center. The results were disastrous. And here's the thing. I wish that that paragraph were true. And this is the pass, right? I think, that the press is giving Kevin Stefanski. Yes, Jerome Ford had 9.3 a carry in the first half. How many carries did he have in the first half? He only had 9 all game long, guys. So don't tell me that Kevin Stefanski was doing the right thing in the first half, too. No, he wasn't.
No.
And this was a game long problem. And it was, I mean, you knew it early. I was like, oh, this again. Okay.
You have no chance of
we can't,
setting up play action.
This defense is good, but it is not good enough to make up for the injuries and a stupid play-calling head coach.
No. Well, yeah. You know, the theme where I was watching the game was, why is he passing on first down? Hey, listen, I bet you he's going to pass on first down. Oh, wow, he ran it this time. But then he goes right back to passing on first down. I'm like, I know a lot of teams are doing it, but I don't think we have the ability to do that at this point. You know, and at least have it back in the back.
So after the 13-play, 79-yard drive that ended in a touchdown but a failed 2-point conversion.
Right.
With the Browns down 2 points at 14-12. Kevin Stefanski starts the very next drive that they get the ball with 3 consecutive pass plays after the run had just done for him what it was supposed to do. Is he getting paid off by somebody? Is Kevin Stefanski betting on games?
I highly doubt it, but I get it.
Come on, give me a reason why a guy intentionally throws the fucking game. Because that's what he did.
That's the thing. You know, you see this evidence right in front of your face after you're calling plays and the results, whether execution is a problem or not, but it's not effective. So not effective means you try something else or do the fundamental thing.
Speaking of a guy who's becoming the player we wanted him to be, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah.
man, I love what Schwartz is doing with him. He's opening up that man's talent, and he's all over the field.
Well, that's what he was supposed to be. That's why he was a big, rangy linebacker with speed. He could cover in the pass, or he can be part of the pass rush.
Yep. And get in the backfield.
Hey, did I tell you guys Hugh Jackson got fired again?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Hugh Jackson. Yeah. Hey, that means he's available.
No.
So anyway, so the Browns as a staff ran 24 times for the entire game for 107 yards and 4.5 yards a carry. Meanwhile, they passed it 42 fucking times. And by the way, the Denver Broncos beat the Browns by doing what? By running 39 times and passing 22 times. I mean, Russell Wilson's stats are totally pedestrian for a quarterback. 13 of 22 for 134 yards, a TD, a long of 31, 91.9 rating.
They did exactly what Miami did to us last year.
Wait, they did to us what we were supposed to be doing to them in the very game we were supposed to be doing it.
Right?
Okay.
No doubt.
I'm sorry. Okay, just that's what they did.
Yeah, they did.
Well, David Njoku targeted nine times. He only caught six of them. At least two of those were legitimate Njoku drops. Okay?
Well, what I'm saying is we legitimately knew, though, going in that that's all we had to do is get a mediocre quarterback game with no mistakes, and we probably would have won.
And a balanced attack. And a balanced attack, right?
Right.
And not even balanced. Listen, if it was going to be skewed, if it was going to be not so balanced, it was going to be heavy run, light pass, right? That's right. Winning formula, right? Mm-hmm. And we do just the opposite and wonder why. Why didn't we win? Well, I can tell you why we didn't win. Because we couldn't convert third downs. You know what the Browns were in that game on third down? 2 for 13, buddy. 15.4%. Broncos, on the other hand, were 6 of 14. We allowed 42.9% third down conversion by the opponent, while we get 15. We are last in the league on third down conversion, guys.
That's not good.
That's it.
Reason it's not good is because we're there a lot, too.
Well, because that's because we pass a lot on first down, okay? We pass a lot on first down, and when those passes are incomplete or short. And see, with DTR, because he's a rookie, we already established this in our discussion last week, Kevin Stefanski is ill. He's not likely to go downfield. So a lot of the passes that we took of these, 42 passes, right? By the way, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, let's be fair to Kevin Stefanski, okay? And he only had Dorian long enough to have him pass 29 times. But many of those passes were to receivers who were behind the line to gain. That's not a formula for success, guys.
It wasn't. It was proven in that game.
Oh, yeah, it was. A couple more numbers, and then we can start talking about something other. Can we talk about something other than the bullshit play calling of Kevin Stefanski right now? Is that the only issue?
We could talk about what's coming up with the LA Rams, I guess.
Do we know? Do they know? I mean, the Rams season is virtually fucking over, okay? They're not playing for anything. They're not going to make the playoffs. But they could still beat the Browns. Okay, And anyway, a couple more stats. We lost time of possession. The Browns are number one in the league in time of possession, but we lost that in this game. Yeah, there's no stat that we should have won that we did, okay? So it's not like, oh, we could have won that game. No, we never were in line based on the numbers or the stars to win that game. And that I put on directly on the head coach. I don't blame, there's not a player that was responsible for that. You have to be cognizant of who you have at a position, okay? You know, if you don't have a fast receiver, right, you're not going to have him trying to streak down the sideline and get the bomb, right? Because he's not going to get open, correct? Right? Anybody with me?
I mean, I agree.
You are absolutely correct.
Okay. So... why are we expecting a rookie quarterback to perform like he's going to take the team and put it on his back?
He's not. What we should be expecting a rookie quarterback to do is go in and make as little mistakes as possible, and we should have let the running game dictate the offense.
Right. And if we're going to do anything else but that on offense in any of the remaining games on our schedule, then those games are at risk of being losses. And I can tell you this, based on the play calling that Kevin Stefanski showed the world, prognosticators who all had the Browns, even if they lose this game against the Broncos, still comfortably in the seat to go to the playoffs and make some noise, are saying, I don't know, the Browns might not even make the playoffs now. I got them going 8-9.
Right.
So what a lot of people are telling you now, based on what they saw from the Browns in Denver, they've gone from thinking the Browns are a slam dunk to not only get to the playoffs, but to maybe make some serious fucking noise when they get there, to now, I don't know if they can win more than one more game over the remainder of the schedule.
Which sucks.
Well, but it's our own fault if you get what was just done in front of folks. I mean, because he did that shit in public. You're embarrassing the family, man. You're embarrassing.
Right. I'm beginning to wonder.
I need him to keep that shit in Madden, okay? You know, Kevin Stefanski famously has been saying that he plays Madden in the offseason, and that keeps him sharp.
Get out of here. He did not say that.
Yes, he did. I got him on film saying it. He's there. You can find it. Okay? It's out there. I watched it. You can, too. Okay? Yes, he has.
That's hysterical.
What if it's true? What if it's true? I mean, what if it's true? Because wasn't he calling plays like somebody playing Madden, Jeff? Now, even people that play Madden know better than that, don't they?
Well, that's what I was saying. Some yeah. of the stuff that's happening is ridiculous because you don't even play Madden that way.
Here's another point. And I think this is fundamental. And it's probably obvious. If you're trying to protect the ball and not turn it over, which you had, I think, probably twice before this play, the ball has to switch hands three times in a double revert.
Did you say the bong has to switch hands three times? Maybe what it was that Kevin misunderstood, and he was switching the bong from one hand to the other.
So, I mean, and, the point being, the percentages of the ball being lost and turned over has to be greater. I mean, right. It would seem to me.
Well, this is true. So, but you know what my point was, right? He had to be high to call that game. He had to be high to call
No doubt. He probably was.
Yeah. You remember when I was telling you that the Rams weren't playing for anything? I'm sorry, I lied. The Rams have rattled off back-to-back wins, including a 37-14 win in Arizona versus the Cardinals on Sunday. They are now 5-6 and still in the mix for a wild card spot, despite a three-game losing streak in early November. Okay, so no. We're not going to get the Rams that don't have anything to play for. I'm sorry. I was mistaken.
Yeah, and we're certainly taking time to heal. Hopefully we're practicing.
This will be the Browns' first game versus the Rams since week 3 of 2019 when the Browns lost at home in primetime 20-13.
Well, it's also to note, we're going to have the Rams, and then we're going to have Jacksonville. And as far as I understood, isn't Jacksonville have the best record in the league now?
No. That would be the Ravens.
It's the Ravens, Chiefs, Jacksonville, in that order, if I'm not mistaken.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
They're right there.
I don't know about that. I think Jacksonville's got a better record than the Chiefs. Let me look this up. Kind of look this up here. NFL standings. Okay, here we go. So the Jacksonville Jaguars are leading the AFC South with an 8-3 record. Yeah, 9-3 Ravens are the best in the conference right now. The Chiefs are 8-3. So they are tied with Jacksonville.
Okay.
I don't know if Jacksonville and Kansas City have played each other this year, so I don't know. By virtue of that, the Chiefs may be ahead of them.
And Lawrence just threw for 400 freaking yards in a game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, that's what I'm saying. Miles Garrett's key, guys. If you hear Miles Garrett's out, I mean, I expect valiant efforts, but those are going to be ones that, you know, kind of come up just short.
Well, at least he was listed day to day now. Amari Cooper, I didn't see anything else on.
Well, yeah, but on Amari Cooper, the x-rays on Amari's ribs came up negative, so anything he's got is muscle soreness, soft tissue. Okay.
Gotcha.
Is Za'Darius Smith out?
No.
I thought he got injured.
He's not even on the injury report, so there you go.
Okay, cool.
Za'Darius Smith said, "I'd laugh at these injuries." Look, in the past, I understand Za'Darius Smith. The thing that's been a problem for him is availability. Okay.
I still like him better than Jadeveon Clowney.
Well, for what he's done for this team, I do. I don't know. And when you consider players in their prime, I mean, Jadeveon Clowney, I'd have loved to have him, you know, 2 years before we had him. Okay.
No doubt.
But that wasn't how we got him.
No. Clowney seems to be doing halfway decent for the Ravens.
Yeah. But that's a comparative issue. I mean, he's a defensive lineman on a team. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to cast any aspersions on any of the defensive linemen on the Ravens, but they get most of their high power defensive play out of their linebacking core.
Yeah.
Okay, so anything that you can add in there is great, but it's a whole different scheme. Mm-hmm. The Browns, I don't know. You know, a lot of people are saying they should be trying to sign another quarterback, because don't you have to have a quarterback and a backup? And
they're talking about
if anybody fucking in Cleveland signs Colt McCoy, I want you to just throw the fucking towel in for the season, okay?
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. Hey, Nick Foles.
Well, if you were going to sign a 6'6 veteran, former MVP, you had your choice. You could have contacted Foles instead of Flacco. You didn't.
Do you think, and I admit ignorance here to a degree, do you think that Nick Foles would have been better? I kind of was leaning there.
I don't know. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's virtually the same age, same size, same credentials, if you will, except that Flacco started more and has. Flacco is the number five guy in terms of total yards and touchdowns thrown as a playoff quarterback. And that's number five on a list that includes John Elway, Joe Montana, Steve Young. Okay, these are the guys that are there. Okay, I'm sorry. Joe Flacco, statistically, unless he's just fucking over the hill, which it's possible he could be, okay? But unless he is just that right now, he can get this job done because this job is not go out and win the game, Joe. This job is, Joe, just don't lose the game.
Right.
This is, look, if we could get just reasonably stable play at quarterback, we can win games, dude.
This is true. I would like to make the experiment of, if you're not going to start Kareem Hunt and you're hell-bent on starting Ford, why not just start Pierre Strong? Just as an experiment.
You're experimenting
anyway.
Because Jerome Ford's getting 9 yards of fucking carry, goddammit.
I don't think we ran Pierre Strong enough. What I've seen of him,
okay,
I've loved.
But
and I
you
feel
don't
like,
okay. But you don't take a guy because we haven't run him that much and we don't know what he can do. Let's run him ahead of the guy who we know what he can do, and he's getting 9 yards of carry and a half. Okay, for the game, again, come on, Jerome Ford had 7.2 yards of carry for the entire game. But you only ran him 9 times. The guilt was not that you didn't start somebody else ahead of him, it's that you just didn't give your effective back the ball. Look, come on. This is the same Kevin Stefanski who were last year I came out and I said it. I said, I think he hates Nick Chubb. Because he wouldn't run Nick Chubb any more than 16 times a game. It didn't matter what the situation was.
Right. Exactly.
And then people then were making excuses for Stefanski saying, well, yeah, but he's trying to preserve Nick Chubb. He wants to have him available. And in one play in week two, that got taken from him. And all the games that he ran Nick Chubb 16 times didn't matter a goddamn bit, did they?
No. And when they finally did start running him 18, 19, and 20 times, and he was getting over 100 yards, you felt that, man, if he, you know, he's, you know, what about the idea of a back getting a rhythm? You know, that idea seems to be lost in the NFL today, not just with the Browns. I felt like he could get.
Then you can't bemoan that fact that he's not doing it. I want to play as an active member of the league that exists today. I don't want to go to throwback football that's not going to work because the game they're playing ain't the same anymore. Okay? All right? And because of the rules and everything, there's certain. This is a pass-centric league that a run-centric team can succeed in, but you have to have a heavy or usable passing element in your game. All right?
Right.
This is not rocket science. Right now,
no.
Shorter games, burn clock.
Yep.
Shorter games.
Dude.
This is the Browns' path to success is to give the opposing team less opportunities to score.
Yep.
And stop them when they do have the opportunity. Stop them. And we lost all around. And again, Jeffrey called it, the defense got tired early. You knew they would. And you played, and you did it. And we did everything we were not supposed to do.
Right.
Anyway, I'm tired of saying it. And the Rams. Rams are going to be playing at home with a reason to play. We do not. I mean, I love a fairy tale story. Wouldn't it be great if Dorian Thompson Robinson could go to Los Angeles where he played his college football and win for the Browns?
Yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But you have a better chance if you get a known because I have no doubt in my mind that Joe Flacco can learn enough of a portion of this offense in a 2-week period of time to be able to go in and start a game.
And no doubt that he's doing exactly that. I mean, you got to believe
that. Well, even if you don't believe, if you believe he's not the best chance for us.
Well, but Hugh, you alluded to
that. I could see DTR being able to get us there, but I think it's such slim of a chance.
It's almost the wishing for a fairy tale to come true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville is a real game. The Rams are a real game because they're going to be competing for their record to improve.
And Matthew Stafford, guys, Matthew Stafford is a gamer. Okay, at quarterback, he is gonna he'll have like one finger left, and he'll still be passing the ball on you.
No doubt.
But Hugh, didn't you say you listened to the really big show today, and they were talking about there was some big conversation about Kevin Stefanski's not going to play. He doesn't like Joe Flacco. Well, he's not going to play him.
I probably came in the middle of it, but. Rizzo was up in arms about if you don't start Flacco, you got to start Flacco. This and that, they really were under the impression that wasn't going to happen. But I mean, they were just tossing out like they didn't know anything.
Okay, you know? I listened to Kevin Stefanski's Monday press conference, and I'll tell you what I got out of it. Kevin Stefanski says DTR's in protocol. So, you know, if he's still in protocol, then obviously either PJ or Joe's going to have to start. We haven't made that decision yet who that would be, and we're going to let the protocol run its course. So I hear what I hear, because, again, Kevin is extremely guarded in terms of what he'll tell the public about his plan for the upcoming game. All right? Keep in mind, that's a characteristic of this coach, okay? I'm not going to talk about that or vague answer. But I hear a guy telling me, look, I don't think I'm going to have to break this kid's heart and sit him down for Joe Flacco. I think the protocol is going to keep him out. And then, furthermore, I think I'll be saved because Flacco will play a competent game, and then I'll just say, look, we're going to go with the momentum. Okay.
Well, I mean,
makes sense.
I mean, the doomsayers are, to me, being a little extreme because we do have 3 games on our schedule still that we should absolutely win. That's the
whether but we not have, if we don't the, play smart
okay,
football.
Well, let me finish what I'm saying first.
Okay.
Let me finish what I'm saying. We have 3 games on our schedule that we should absolutely win, and that's the Bears, Jets, and Bengals. Okay, the Bengals just got worse. Okay,
right.
Those we should win those. That should give us 10 games. Honestly, that should keep us in the playoffs.
It should keep us in the playoffs. But look at what it does after a loss to Denver, who's now all of a sudden in the playoff hunt. If you end up winning only 10 games and you're tied with Denver, you get the bottom spot and you have to go to Denver to play.
That sucks.
I get you. What I'm saying is, the point I'm trying to make is that the naysayers are being extreme, okay? But the people with confidence are being just as extreme. The Browns are literally in the middle of that right now.
Right. Unless an obstinate head coach who keeps calling against common fucking sense keeps doing that. And then you're just screwed.
Well,
because it won't matter who starts. Listen, if Kevin Stefanski is going to call 42 pass plays on Sunday against the Rams, it doesn't matter who fucking starts. You're going to goddamn lose.
Right. That could be quite possible. Unless there's Joe Flacco and he somehow makes that offense turn. I think everybody's going to get a little bit of what they want in this, okay? Because, look, Joe has gone places and maybe not looked as good as he has in Baltimore and stuff, but he's, to me, I don't think he's ever gone anywhere and looked like a guy who
like
literally
he
never
looked like
started
shit.
Ever in his yeah. career, okay? If he comes in here and plays, runs this offense and that play calling can't look like anything under that quarterback, I mean, that's how many times does it have to be a new
Joe's
quarterback?
Joe's got a rifle, and he's got height. He's 6'6".
Yep.
I mean, come on. These got to be tools you can use. We shouldn't see many batted balls out of Joe Flacco. Okay?
No, we should.
And he can see the lanes. Joe knows how to read. Okay? He can read a progression. Okay. To me, this is when experience matters. Okay. You know, if somehow or another Deshaun Watson hadn't been available at the beginning of the year and you could start Dorian Thompson-Robinson from the very start and go through some growing pains with him and where you could still make up for it, there's no margin for error here. And I don't know what it does to the kid's career long term if he is demoted, if you will. But right. But let it go to circumstance like Kevin Stefanski is. This is the only smart thing I've seen him doing. And of course, he tends to do smart things when he's not in game. It's in game that Kevin Stefanski gets stupid. Like, you don't want to announce that Joe's your starter right now. Because you don't have to. All right? And clearly, getting ready defensively for DTR or Joe is a different thing. If you're a defense.
True.
And I'd love to keep them guessing. And force them to have to come up with two different plans because they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, that Kevin Stefanski is not telling you anything useful right now, that's a good thing.
Right.
But I don't know anybody with a brain wants to start DTR over Joe Flacco after we've seen what DTR can do. And we know what he cannot. And we know what he cannot.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you what he cannot. Because you can say P.J. Walker wasn't placing the ball well, Jeffrey. And maybe you didn't see a lot of DTRs doing the same things in the first half. But it was the same. It was bad ball placement. And you can't get past that with a rookie. You can't get past that with a guy that's, you know, P.J. Walker, this journeyman. This is one of the reasons why P.J. Walker is probably never going to be a starter in this league, okay, kind of thing, because he can't. It's just what it is. Any thoughts on the Browns against the Rams? Any specific thoughts on that?
The Browns are going to win. 95-2. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, speaking of which.
It was a dream.
Speaking of which, the Browns did set a record. Right?
Oh, really? What was that?
Okay. There's never been that score before. No NFL game ever has ended 29-12.
Right. That's the first time in history. Huh?
Right.
That's the browniest thing you could have thought of.
Well, that's the only thing you got to take out of this game that's anything close to a positive or a superlative. Mm-hmm. There's nothing, There is nothing that you can take away from this game, because the lack of being able to tackle in the running game better have been an aberration, or we're done. Okay? Or we're done.
Right. We were not tackling well at all.
No, and it was a terrible day of all days for the defense to have a terrible day. But again, Jeffrey called it. He knew why it was. We all knew why that was.
Oh, yeah. Lack of oxygen.
Yeah. And I didn't see a lot of oxygen bottles on the sideline either.
Listen, I am so glad you brought that up.
And I looked.
I mentioned it. I looked. I didn't see oxygen tanks. I didn't see anybody with oxygen masks on their face. I'm like, what are y'all doing?
And I'm going to be honest with you.
Like,
from the very beginning, and the camera focused on Myles Garrett a lot, okay? But even early in the game, I didn't like the look on Myles' face.
No, I didn't either.
I didn't think he looked like he was really into it. I just didn't. It felt off. The whole thing felt off.
That's weird. Yeah.
But that's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I think legitimately we have a chance. I think we can, if we could put two touchdowns and a few field goals together, I think we have a chance.
I think we have a chance to win this game if we get back to some fundamental football, run the goddamn ball, run the fucking ball. I hope, beyond hope, I guess, that Jimmy Haslam's having a talk with his head coach or with his general manager, telling him to have a talk with the head coach and saying, we're running the ball, right?
Right. Yeah, no doubt. Jeff, what are your thoughts, sir?
That it's a game they must win. I mean, to me, I to predict anything of the way they play or anything to me is at this point pointless.
They need to play
a quarterback that we don't know how the fuck he's going to perform.
Okay? Right,
and they have to run the ball. Okay, and the defense is going to have to win the game because the offense just sucks.
Right.
Unless Flacco comes in and dramatically changes it. By the way, what also is probably going to have to change, because I'd imagine you would want to make Flacco comfortable. I don't know how they're going to keep playing the tight end position the way they are and Flacco come in and play quarterback. But
right.
They need to win the game.
Well, we'll see what if Kevin Stefanski can adapt his play calling style.
Well, one good thing.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh at my own joke. Anyway,
they won't have to play in Cleveland weather. Right now, it's 24 degrees, feels like 11. And so that's one good thing. They'll be able to play in some warmth and actually, and with good air, not thin air, nice thick air.
Good, all that good Los Angeles air. Yeah, there you go. It's getting better all the time. It's getting better all the time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, having said that, there's really nothing else to say except I got to get your guys' predictions for the game. You were all wrong, by the way, about last week. Okay? So,
no
me
doubt.
Too. So, who wants to go first?
I'll say 20 to – I'm going to say 20 to 17.
20 to 17. All right.
It's going to be a slim one.
Slim one. What do you think, Jeff?
I would predict that our defense is going to show up. So I'm going to say again that if our defense shows up and we score 21 points, we're probably going to win the game.
Okay.
I'm going to go with 21.
Okay, 21-17. So we got 20-17, 21-17. And I think Flacco helps us solve something on the offense. Not the whole thing, but there gets to be some timing. And, you know, passes that are complementary to the route, okay? Right. And I think that's the major improvement that you see is just some on-time balls. And that's going to result in the Browns scoring 24 points and holding the Rams to 17. So we all agree that the Rams are going to score 17 points.
Yeah.
You got them scoring 20, Hugh. You got them scoring 21, Jeff. And I got them scoring 24. I'm the optimist once again. I don't know why, because Kevin Stefanski's calling the fucking plays. But anyway, that's the way it works out, right?
Right.
But having said that, it's now time to say this. It's been TBF, a Browns fans podcast, where we've been talking about the debacle in Denver. I don't guess it was so bad that it's going to get that historical name, but it could, depending on how badly it affects the remainder of the season. But in the meantime, in the in-between time, until it's that time, what time's that? That's when we get together to talk about this masterful win that the Browns are going to have over the Los Angeles Rams in L.A. This is Paul, Hugh, and Jeff for TBF, a Browns fans podcast, saying we're out.
Basement Tapes Productions.